Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Lee and Keys. We're back another week, episode 9. We got Lee over here. He got some dream fights for us. Whole bunch of analysis we about to jump into real quick. We got dream cards for 2018. We're just rounding out the new year right now. So, you know, if any, like I always say, too, 917-889-3251 at any point in the show. If you want to call up and let us know what's on your mind, even if it's a completely different topic, call up and let us know. We're free. We feel free to talk about anything. So, at any time. I think it'd be a good thing. I'll throw this dream card down that I got. You know, some of the fights have already been made, but we'll break it down. So, based on about a week ago's events, you had Max Holloway. We had UFC 218. He beat Aldo again. Did we both have Max Holloway in that main event? We both have that?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think most people knew he was going to take that one pretty easily. Aldo kind of, you could see he was getting, I think it was after the first round, he looked a little tired. You could tell he was throwing himself out pretty quick. Threw himself out in two rounds. Holloway took him over in the third. So based off of that, I mean, Conor McGregor was kind of responding to Holloway's retaining his title. He posted a pic, kind of ragging on him, and a lot of people, Holloway actually responded to it, talking about, like, saying about him being a retired fighter and everything. So that whole spiel kind of sparked the interest of, like, them, you know, getting back in there and getting a rematch. A lot of people would start talking about that. I guess Max was coming out and saying that, you know, he knows Conor's, like, to be honest, Conor's not going to cut back down to 145. Like, we know for a fact, 100%, that's never going to happen. I don't even think he would be interested to do that, even if it was, you know, physically doable. Like, for his body right now, I don't think that's doable, but I don't even think he would do it if it was doable. I just don't know, like, what would be the intrigue in that. I mean, if you do go down there, you beat him, you're the champion. I mean, he's not very big on defending titles, so what's he going to do? Like, just, you know, win the belt, you know, sit with the belt for a year and then go do a boxing match? Like, I mean, he just, if you're not truly interested, don't do it, you know? But,
I don't see Conor ever going down to 145. So, the only way him and Max will ever fight is Max will have to move up. Being that Max is only 26 years old, I think he can move up, you know, being that he's young, because he's going to gain weight. So, but at this time, if they're going to fight, make it catch weight, maybe 150, so that neither one of their belts are on the line and it's just a good fight to have for the fans. But, yeah, Conor at 145 is never going to happen. So that's just a pipe dream for Max Holloway. So we can just go ahead and move on to the next.
But, you know, I agree. Based on that, I had Max Holloway versus Conor McGregor, too, for the main event. I wasn't specifying whether it was a title fight or anything. I just thought, you know, the stakes of the fight period, you know, the implications are big no matter what. Like, it doesn't even need a belt, you know, involved to be a main event. That's arguably the biggest fight the UFC could put on at this time, you know, next to, you know, a handful of other fights. But, you know, God knows when we'll see all those. The next one that I had, which actually just got booked, I had Stipe Miocic versus Francis Naganu. Yeah, I had Stipe and Naganu as a co-main. That was the second one on my card. That one just got booked for UFC in Boston. So we're going to get to see DC and Stipe in Boston. I'm still not sold on the card. I still need to see. There's one more fight that I'm just waiting to see it. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But so the next one that I had was GSP versus Robert Whittaker.
Hold up. I had Stipe also on my dream card. But I had him versus Overeem. The only reason I had him versus Overeem is because being an Overeem is now with the Wink Jackson camp. I don't think Stipe would dominate him the way he dominated him the last time they fought. I think Wink would come up with a different game plan and will probably involve more of Overeem kicking Stipe down because we have never really seen Stipe on his back. So I think Wink and Wink Jackson, they will actually come up with a specific game plan just for Stipe. So I had Stipe versus Overeem and you had Stipe versus Ngannou. So we both were thinking the same, but probably for two different reasons. You probably got Ngannou because he's the hottest thing going right now, and you probably want Stipe to bring him back down to earth because I know you're a big Stipe fan. So, but we both have Stipe on our dream card. That's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, if there's anything that's going to punch my ticket to that Boston event, it's going to be with the thought in mind of Stipe getting Ngannou way out of there in two rounds. Yeah, you know,
hey, man,
I wanted to say
we're
one.
We're gonna talk about
to
that.
Say
we're
one
gonna
round.
Talk about that. Don't get out of the way.
All right, so we'll leave that for after. Let me go into this next one real quick. We'll get back to Stipe. So the next one I had is now impossible, and we'll likely never see this fight. I said this, I think, on our last show. I believe I said this a couple times. I had GSP versus Robert Whittaker, and we're not going to see it now because, as most probably have heard, GSP has vacated the middleweight belt. He, you know, has some health issues he's dealing with, and he, you know, didn't want to hold up the division. His title reign was, you know, just over a month. He had a 31-day title reign. It was very impressive, and we would have liked to see more work from him, but I think GSP in his mind knew that he could not compete at 185, and he knew that Bisping, like, the move was very calculated. He knew Bisping was probably the easiest guy for him to beat at 185, like, out of all the contenders. Had anyone else been the champion, I really don't believe that GSP would have been nearly as intrigued to go for that belt instead of just returning to 170. Because there's some killers over there. Like, you know, you have, you know, you've got Rockhold waiting, Jacare's waiting, Yoel Romero is waiting. Man, like, those guys will take his head off. And, you know, he can't strike with them guys. They're too much bigger than him. And he knew Bisping was older. Yeah. He knew, you know, he had the one up. And he went in there, got the belt, and then got out. He just wanted to be a two-division champ like Conor McGregor. I mean, I don't blame him. But we'll never see that fight now, so we can scratch that. And I did tell you last week, I told you that GSP was scared of Whittaker in his striking. He didn't want to see those hands. And I think that played a big part in it, too. Never mind all the other guys. I wouldn't want to fight Rob Whittaker either. Like, I don't want to throw any of my, you know, favorite guys out to fight him. That boy is a killer. And he might be holding that belt for quite some time.
And being that you said that, you know, you did say that, and I think we both agreed that if GSP was to fight Whittaker, it would be pretty much a grind session because GSP would basically wrestle him the whole time. He wouldn't want to stand with Robert Whittaker. But my dream fight for that division was Whittaker versus Brunson. And I know, I think they already fought. I could be wrong. But the only reason I picked that fight on my dream card is because you might notice a trend with me. I'm all about new blood now. It's like I want to see the new guys get an opportunity. Tired of all the same guys, you know, over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I think Brunson is hot, and Whittaker has been fish grease hot here lately. And I think them two guys will give you a good fight. I think they both want to stand and trade, so whoever makes the first mistake will probably be the person that loses. But I like Whittaker, man. I like Whittaker a lot. I like his grind, how he has definitely fought his way to the top instead of talked his way to the top. Because, you know, I'm not all about the guys that talk. I'm all about the guys that get in there and do it. And I think Brunson, other than him being robbed against Anderson Silva, he has actually been on a good streak here. So him and Whitaker would definitely be a good matchup I would want to see, especially with Whitaker being the champion now. And I think Brunson is about to fight Jacare. I think he's going to fight Jacare in North Carolina. So I think if Brunson wins that fight and if Whitaker beats Rocco, then I think that'll be the next fight. They'll probably make Brunson versus Whitaker. So I think me and you are on the track with that one.
Yeah, I like that idea. Brunson's one of my favorite upcoming guys. You know, I would like to see him. I think you're right, though. They actually did fight, you know, not too long ago either, Whitaker and Brunson. I think that was one of Whitaker's last, you know, three or four fights they faced off. So I don't know how soon the UFC would want to make that fight. I mean, like you said, depending on what happens in North Carolina, I mean, if he even can beat Jacare, because, I mean, as much as I want to see Brunson win, like, I'm not going to count out this man and just, like, say that he's going to breeze through. Like, that's a tough fight for him. So, I mean, based on that, you know, and then the UFC and not knowing if they'd want to rebook a rematch, like, so soon when they just recently fought, you know, we'll see. Like, it's, you know, I'd like to see Brunson get up there, too. We'll just have to see. The next one I wanted to throw out, I'm very excited to talk about this one. Tyron Woodley versus Robbie Lawler 2. That's the next one on my card. That one would be, you know, I didn't even try to consider, and I apologize, I just didn't even consider Rafael Dos Anjos beating Robbie Lawler. Like, I'm not even, that's not even in my mind at this time. Like, I mean, he does have a chance, but, like, I just feel like for Robbie to take the fight, there's got to be, like, a level of determination for him to win the fight. I mean, I feel like he wouldn't have wanted it if he wasn't that interested in getting the rematch with Woodley. And I think he's going to go in there for blood. And I don't know. I mean, if that fight would have – if that fight go, I see a stoppage. If that fight goes to decision, I'll be a little surprised, because in his last one, Robbie fought Donald Cerrone. And, I mean, Cerrone, you know, both of them, I don't think they were able, you know, and it was weird because you would think they, you know, them guys both got power. But it was just weird because it almost seemed like, you know, neither of them had enough to knock each other down or, you know, get a stoppage in the fight, and it went to decision. But for this one, like, you know, if I was him, knowing that this is a title eliminator fight, I would think that Robbie's going to, that he's going in there to finish RDA, and Dos Anjos, I would think is going to go for the same thing because they both want to get a shot at that belt, and I think that's going to be the idea going into it that night. And that card's actually coming up pretty soon. I think it's the next one after. I think there's this card tonight, which, to be honest, I don't give a damn about that card. They got, like, a featherweight. They got a, yeah, so I'm like, that card is looking gross, man. I looked at it. I was not interested at all. I was like, man, good thing this thing is free on TV. Who the hell would want to pay for that card? It's the main event.
And that's my final take for later. That's my final take for later because I'm going to talk about that. But I had, out of that division, Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington. And the only reason I picked that fight is because Usman, he's a man of very few words. But if you ever watch him fight, he dominates most of his fights. He's an action fighter. He maintains a steady pace. It's not dangerous. But if you're not if you don't stand on your defense, he will finish you, and either on the ground or standing. And I picked Covington because Covington is totally opposite of Usman. He's this guy that's running his mouth, trying to talk his way to the top. And I also heard that Covington turned down this fight. Okay, you're trying to get to T-Wood. Okay. Why would you turn down this fight against Usman when Usman is, I think he's in the top 10. Actually, he's number 12 ranked right now. And Usman has called you out. You're not gonna get a top five guy right there, Kobe. Come to reality, you're not gonna get a top five guy. If you fight Kamaru Usman and you beat him, people will start taking you seriously. I think he's scared of Usman because Usman has a style. When you step in the ring with him, you don't know what he's going to do. Usman can strike you. Usman can wrestle you. Usman has okay jiu-jitsu. But the thing about Usman that makes him so scary is the man never speaks. And I named that the Silent Assassin versus the Loudmouth. So that's a fight I want to see. Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington. And if that fight wasn't happen, I'm going with Usman all day.
And you know what? Like, I feel like, you know, this is like, you know, tangentially related to what you said. Like, the UFC booking that Covington and Damian Maia fight was a mistake because that fight, like, so first of all, I think Damian Maia, he took a low-level guy like Covington, and he was like, okay, like, I just had a, you know, very poor performance, you know, for the title, and I came up short, so let me take a low-level guy, you know, who the fuck is Kobe Covington, right? That's what he probably thought, and then he's like, all right, I'm going to get an easy win, you know, get myself, you know, get my confidence back, this and that, and then he couldn't, and he lost, and now Covington's mind is too gassed, and he thinks that, okay, because I just beat the guy who just competed for the title, how come I'm not good enough to compete for the title? I should be competing for the title. And that just, it's got him doing, you know, he's campaigning for a fight that he's really not qualified for. I mean, you have a number of other guys, like, you know, that feel like they can qualify for that fight. And even if it's not that, it's like you have guys that qualify to fight you. And, like, if you're the top contender, you shouldn't be turning down fights, like you just said. Like, how does that help you, you know, while you're campaigning for the champion, and then the champion sees you, you know, ducking other fighters, you know, especially dangerous fighters, and then it looks like, you know, you're just scared to lose at that point, you know? I mean, you got lucky with getting the Damian Maia fight, and then you got lucky to, you know, to have a good performance in the fight, but just because you beat the guy who just lost to the champion doesn't, you know, make you – that's like, you know, Gastelum just beat Bisping, and Bisping lost the GSP. Like, you beat the wash – like, you beat the champion who just lost. Like, that doesn't put the same argument I had last week. That doesn't put Gastelum, you know, as if, oh, I just beat the former champion. It's a similar concept. Like, you're still not a competitor. Like, you beat – you know, somebody on half-life, just like Damian Maia. Like, he had an awful performance, and you beat him, you know, on half-life. That's what happened. I mean, the only difference is he didn't get finished in that fight. So Kobe Covington need to shut up and just stop with all the damn Twitter stuff, okay, and all these weird, you know, making memes and stuff, you know, T-Wood memes and all this. He got to stop, man. He's campaigning too hard for that fight, and I think he's just making an embarrassment of himself. And I don't think that's intriguing the UFC to want to book that fight any much more than it already, you know, hasn't. So, you know, that I wouldn't mind seeing that fight, but the fact he's turning them down is sad because he's not in a position to be turning down fights. Anyways, my next one I had was...
I totally agree. You're talking all this trash, but you're turning down fights. You're not even – you haven't really done nothing, man. So fight your way to the top. Don't talk your way to the top. All right, man, what you got next?
So my next one will probably be your favorite one, TJ versus Demetrius Johnson. And this one was another one where it's not specified whether – I didn't think about if there was, belts on the line. I mean, hopefully it wasn't because they both need to stay in their respective divisions because they're both champions. There's no need to, you know, have a unifying, you know, factor in there. You know, both divisions got, like, a good amount of talent. Let them just keep rocking out what they're doing. But, like, you know, having the – you said it on one of our last, you know, shows you were saying about them possibly doing a catch weight, and I like that idea, you know, that I wouldn't mind seeing them do something like that. I could even see TJ and Demetrius getting it, like, you know, getting that going on maybe even like a fight night card, just throw that right on there, you know. And you could stack that up. I mean, there's some fight, like, you know, and they could have that be, you know, a main event for one of the, you know, big events. But at the same time, it's just, it's unlikely because the UFC, I mean, besides like the McGregor and Diaz thing, like, you don't usually see main events not for a title on a major UFC card. Like, it's just not something that they prefer to do. So the likelihood of that happening, I mean, maybe with the, considering the magnitude of this fight, maybe they'd be wanting to get that on a, you know, main card, main event. Like, I think this, with the right promotion, this fight can be big enough to be a main event with no title. But knowing the UFC, I mean, they put DJ on fight night, one of his last title defenses. So it's unpredictable, but I don't mind either way. I hope they run
that. You know
that
what's
in, like,
funny is
first,
I had
first quarter of 2018. I want to see that one. What you said?
Yep, I had that fight on my card also. And I had it DJ versus TJ at 130. And I would label it as just a super fight, or if you wanna hype it up, just say bad blood, you know. Because evidently when TJ beat Cody, the first thing out of his mouth was, I wanna fight DJ because your streak is bogus, la 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 la. And I think that TJ has some bad feelings towards DJ. And that's how I would hype it, because first of all, DJ has never lost a fight at 125. All his losses have come at 135. You know, I think both of them came against Dominique Cruz. So now for this fight here, I would want it to be on this dream card thing. I would have that as my main event, followed by Stipe, then followed by Brunson and Whitaker. I'll probably have Usman and Covington on the prelim. Actually, DJ and TJ will be my co-main event. I'm sorry, I haven't got to my main event yet. I think DJ and TJ will be a magnificent fight because you got two guys that are pretty fast, that are excellent technicians. And they both fight so smart. So I think DJ will really have to abandon his strategy in this fight. I think he will actually have to go after TJ. Because if DJ gets him to the ground, I think DJ will have an advantage. Because as we have seen, DJ have pulled off some of the trickiest submissions in UFC history. When they look at DJ, the first thing they want to say is he's fast. No, DJ knows how to finish fights. And he would definitely have to get TJ up out of there, being that TJ will probably walk. He's going to walk in the fight as the bigger guy. And I'm a big DJ fan, and I will probably put my money on DJ to win this fight, only because TJ has been talking so much trash. And the last guy to talk trash to DJ like this was Dotson. And if my memory serves correct, he cleaned Dotson up twice. So I love the DJ versus TJ fight at 130 so they both can keep their belts and they're not holding up two divisions. Because if TJ was to beat DJ, what is he going to do at the 135 weight limit? Because you know DJ going to want a rematch, so then you're holding up the 135 division. So let them have their fight, and then they both go their own way. And then if DJ wants to rematch, whoever the loser is, if they want to rematch the person that won, they got to go down to that person's division or go up to that person's division. So the first fight should be at 130. Then after that, if they want to keep it going, the loser goes up or the loser goes down. And let's just keep it moving. I would take DJ in that fight only because I'm a DJ fan. And I think he will find holes in TJ game to exploit. But that would be an excellent fight. I think all of UFC want to see that fight. Not just me and you. I think every fan of UFC wants to see that fight.
Everybody, yeah. I think I agree. It'd be good. I don't know if, I mean, just at face value, I don't know if TJ has, you know, enough weapons to beat Demetrius Johnson, but I mean, it'd be entertaining. I mean, I'd be excited to see it. I don't know if the loser or whatever would want to, you know, change the weight based on if they lose the first fight. I mean, they'd probably feel like they even have less of an advantage to win after that. I mean, you go from, you know, going up 5 pounds or down 5 pounds, and you're going up another 5 pounds. Now you're 10 pounds bigger, you know, fighting 10 pounds of weight, you know, more than you're used to, and you might feel like you have even less of an advantage. And I'd like to see the, you know, I'd like to see a tail of the tape with on that fight like that. I'd like to just see like them two guys like in size, like standing next to each other. I mean, I know DJ is short, but like Dillashaw is not that big of a guy either. Like, I mean, really looking at him, I mean, all the bantamweights are pretty small dudes. Like, they're really not. I mean, you weigh 135 pounds, you know, you're not a big guy. You know what I mean? And even the featherweights aren't big. Like, Holloway's tiny. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, but I'm sure he looks big compared to Demetrius Johnson. I just like to see them two and all the attributes and just see how it breaks down. But I'd still have DJ winning that fight. I don't have. Anyways, you know, one thing that I thought could interchange any of mine was Conor McGregor, Tony Ferguson fight. That could definitely interchange for any of the fights on my card. What do you think about that one?
Man, being that I know that I have a gut feeling that Conor would not be fighting anytime soon, I went to another fight in that division. I think the next time you see Conor in the fight will probably be against Manny Pacquiao instead of in the UFC. So I didn't even put Conor on my list because I just.
Yeah, he wasn't on mine either. I just came up that one. I just came out with that one on.
I just see Conor, man, as a guy that's chasing money now. I don't think his heart is into fighting. I think he's a prize fighter. He's fighting for the check now. And the biggest checks for him are in boxing. Can you imagine Conor McGregor versus Manny Pacquiao after what Conor just did to Mayweather? But the thing is Mayweather carried him in that fight, whereas I think Pacquiao is not going to do that. Pacquiao is going to come in there to fight. So to get back on topic, I went with Kevin Lee versus Khabib. I don't know why my heart I went for it, but I'll tell you why I went for it. I love Kevin Lee, man. I love his pre-fight promotion. I think him talking trash about Khabib leading up to the fight might light a fire under Khabib to be the best Khabib he could be. People, like you said in our previous show, people don't realize Kevin Lee almost got Tony Ferguson up out of there. So Kevin Lee is a force. Yep, Kevin Lee is a force. So Khabib likes to take you down to the ground and you know, man-hump you for the whole fight. I think Kevin Lee would match Khabib on the ground, and I think Kevin Lee will actually be talking trash to him the whole fight and getting him out of his game. And I just like Kevin Lee, man. It's something about that guy that I really like. And that would be a fight I would want to see, Kevin Lee versus Khabib.
Yeah, it's ironic because I thought he called out Khabib leading up to the Ferguson fight. I thought he said that was one of the ones that he would want to get, one of the fights he'd want to get down the line. That's definitely an interesting one for me. I'm a big fan of Kevin Lee too, and I was actually rooting for him to beat Tony Ferguson in that fight because I felt like he was such a big underdog, and that's my thing. Like, I'm usually wrong about fights because I don't go with who I, like, logically would pick. I go with the underdog. Like, I always want the underdog to come out and have a great performance. And Kevin Lee, like, in that one, was a big underdog, and he didn't win. But, you know, he, like I said, all these people have moments when they're, you know, they're having good moments in these fights, and then by the time it ends and they get finished in some way or whatever, everybody just makes it seem like there wasn't even a fight. And they're like, oh, like, Ferguson kicked his ass. And it's just like, man, no, he didn't. Like, it was a really back-and-forth fight. Like, Ferguson was getting boxed up for a lot of it, too. Like that. And that's the crazy thing, because everybody's out here talking about Ferguson striking, man, and I don't really think he's that special. Like, really watching him, I mean, he comes out with a flurry of punches in a lot of his fights. But I'm going to just say, like, you only have so many chances to do that, brother. And, you know, the way you advertise yourself and saying you're throwing elbows, this man just got elbow surgery to sharpen his elbows, talking about so he could hit McGregor with harder elbows in their title unification fight. And all I could think about is this, you know, moron doesn't even consider, you know, that you're not just going in there and just swinging like a Manny Pacquiao, you know, for the fences. And Manny Pacquiao loses fights that way. You're not going in there like that, you know, versus a guy like McGregor, let's just say. He's not going to have you on that type of game. I mean, you're not this person. But anyways, what I was saying before, too, is Kevin Lee, I think he'll be a champion down the line. And I can't wait to see it. He'll be a good, you know, promotional key for the UFC, too. Once Kevin Lee's a champion, like having somebody with a personality like his, I mean, he does talk, and he has a lot of trash talk, but he backs it up when he gets in there. And I think there's a lot of guys that he could beat, you know, that are in the top. There's a handful of guys he could beat, you know, in the top 10. It's hard to say. You know, the fight that I thought of with Kevin Lee, I was thinking have Kevin Lee versus Gaethje. Kevin Lee versus Gaethje.
That's a good one. I like that.
Because, you know, that was actually my most proud moment. How could I forget from, you know, this past weekend's UFC card was I was rooting for Alvarez, man. We had our predictions. I was telling you, you know, I feel good about Alvarez in this fight. I mean, I told you, Gaethje could surprise me, and he could have at any moment. I mean, even Eddie said that, too. You know, he posted a thing. He was watching the playback of the knockout, and he was just saying, like, you know, out of all the time you hit this guy, at any point, Gaethje, like a fighter like him, can be back in the fight in seconds. And that's why you can't take any chances of letting him react or get even a second to, you know, catch his breath, because he's back in the fight, and he'll finish you. You can't give him a chance. But, you know, when Eddie threw – When he had that blow to the head, you know, he raised his knee, had that blow to the head. That knee was vicious, man. And the way Gaethje fell, like, we all saw that, we you just knew it was over. And he was like, I knew I couldn't hit him again after that. Like, I mean, after all the war that they had and everything they went through, like, in that fight, like, the trials they went through, like, and they threw a lot of strikes. There was a lot of blows in that fight. That was probably, like, my favorite fight of the night. And, you know, you just knew. Once he got hit with that one, the man was down. That was it. But Kevin Lee, I think, would give him a good fight, too. And I don't know. Other than that, I mean, you got a couple weight classes that is kind of, like, weird right now about what's going on. I mean, you have Nama Yunes is the champion. Joanna is still complaining. She's still complaining, blaming everybody else but herself for losing the belt. So that rematch is looking very unlikely now because she's just crying a lot, and I don't see why the UFC would want to give her a rematch when she's acting up and posting videos of her weight cut and stuff like that. But so I don't know who would really contend to fight Rose Namajunas right now. We're going to have to postpone that. I mean, you have the featherweight title fight. They're going to have Cyborg. I think one report. She got flagged by USADA, a possible doping violation from USADA. I'm not sure because I only saw one report come out for it. I didn't see, like, a crazy amount like I usually do.
when you've got like 3, 4, 5 sources reporting the same thing, I mean, it can't be too far off from the truth. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I saw your post on Twitter, and I was like, to be honest, I wasn't surprised because, man, you know, people that are habitual cheaters, they try to find new ways to cheat so they don't get caught. These athletes, I'm going to tell y'all now, if y'all listen to our show, stop cheating. They will catch you. Just look at the John Jones situation. John Jones tested clean all the way up to the day before the fight. He had a piss test the night before the fight, the night of the fight. After the fight, he had a blood test, and he came back hot. Stop trying to cheat. You will get caught. Now, look, steroids are dangerous. They're dangerous to your health. They're dangerous to your competitors because it gives you an unfair advantage. If you can't stay clean, get out the sport because all you're doing is more harm than good. I always looked at Cyborg anyway as a borderline cheater since back in her, since the time she fought my girl Gina Serrano. It was like the way she beat Gina Serrano, it was so brutal. And Gina Serrano was like the best fighter in women's MMA at the time. But am I shocked? No. Am I disappointed? No. Do I think that athletes need to wisen up? Yes. Do I think athletes need to stop cheating? Yes. Make the sport, your sport right now, is a growing sport on the masses. People turn away from sports when they think there is cheating. Stop cheating. Win cleanly, and you will grow your fan base. But when it comes to the women, I had 2 fights on my card that I would like to see. The first one was Kat Zingano versus Amanda Nunes. As everybody knows, Kat Zingano has been out the game for a while. And she has a fight coming up here shortly. And I think what the UFC doing is giving her a warm-up fight before they make the Ghana versus Nunez fight. But speaking of Nunez, they said that she might have been flagged by USADA. So we got to see how that comes out. And then my man Keys just bought a Thug Rose. And I think Joanna is going to sit for a minute and regroup. So I said Thug Rose versus Jessica Andrade would be a good fight. I like how Andrade represented herself against Joanna. It was actually a good fight. Andrade actually dominated some of the action at times, and it did go all 5 rounds. She didn't get knocked out. It was a unanimous decision. And I think Thug Rose probably, I think she will win via decision. I don't think she will finish Andrade. I think she will go to the they will both go on to the deep waters, and they will go to the judges. But the women's division to me is really kind of, there isn't that many good competitors in the women's division. All the divisions are top heavy. But when you go down to pass number 5, it's like I don't even know the names of some of these women. So then they just created a new 125 division. If you can barely feel the other divisions, why would you create a new division? UFC, smarten up. Get rid of the 115. Go 125, 135. Go 125 and 140. That way you get rid of the 145, and then for the women that can't make 125, they can fight at 140, or they can try to come down to 125. All you need is 2 divisions. You don't need 4 or 5 divisions to match the men. It's already hard enough for you to promote women fights because you have all these divisions. Stop it. Just create 2 women's divisions and make it work. That's all I got on that, Keys. That's my soapbox for today.
I mean, it's funny because they pretty much struggled for a long time. I mean, as long as I've been watching. You know, and in the past couple of years, like, I mean, they had what just – they had 135. They had women's bantamweight. I think was actually relatively
– It was 135 and 115.
And 115, okay, because I just remember when they came out with the 135, wasn't Ronda Rousey the first champion of 135?
Yep, didn't even have to – yep.
And that was not that long ago, so – Was the 115,
exactly.
What's that? The strawweight, right?
That's strawweight. That's Joanna's division.
That was the first women's division they had.
The first women's division
it's...
was 135. Then they came up with 115.
Okay.
I want to say the young lady that wore the ball wrestler hat, Esperanza, I want to say she was the first champion, and then Joanna beat her. Esparza. She was the first champ, and then Joanna beat her, and then, you know, the rest is history.
That's the thing about the women's divisions is, like, every time, like, they come out, it's like you have, like, a dominant champion who, like, was given the belt. This is the thing that it bothers me is that all these champions, like, were given the belt. Like, look at Aldo. Like, Jose Aldo, when did he win that belt? Like, I don't recall the fight when he won that belt. Like, I'm pretty sure he was given that belt. He was the first.
He was given that belt. He was given it. He was given it.
Right.
Because they didn't have that weight class in UFC. And then when WEC folded, they just gave him that belt, and then they created that division.
So the thing that the one thing Aldo was able to do, which I can jump off this pretty quick, but was the one thing he was able to do was defend the belt many times. So I give him that. Aldo was not scared to defend the belt versus anybody. And that's, you know, one thing in his character he has a lot more than McGregor is that he's not scared to defend. But my thing is that a lot of these champions, like Rousey and like Joanna, is that, I mean, Joanna, like, more arguably fought better competition than Rousey did. If you really look at their, like, who they fought in their title defenses, I mean, I'm pretty sure they had the same number of title defenses, too. I think Joanna matched her at five. I think it was five title defenses. If she was able to beat Rose, she would have broke Rousey's record for most consecutive title defenses in women's UFC history, but she wasn't able to do that. It's just that, if you look at it, like, Rousey fought, you know, she had five title defenses. If you look at who she fought in her five defenses, like, they don't have, like you were saying, they don't have that many prospects. And, like, you, like the divisions that they have, you know, they have a lot of, they have a couple contenders, you know, a handful of contenders at the top, and they don't have much else when you go down. Like, you know, in the men's divisions, you have guys right now who are killers. They can compete. The number 8 guy, or like the number 10 guy, or the number 12 guy, believe it or not, can compete with the champion, more likely than not.
Exactly.
But if you say the same thing for the women's division, and you put the number 12 strawweight versus Rose Namajunas right now, it won't even be a fight. And that's what I'm trying to say, is that, like, if you did that at that time and you had Ronda Rousey fight the number 12 bantamweight, first of all, no one would have ever even heard of the number 12 bantamweight. You don't even know who that is. I mean, in the men's divisions, you know these guys. Like, people are starting to know these guys. I mean, at least me and you know, and we try and put other people on.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of prospects, and they've been getting a lot of talent. Specifically, welterweight has a lot of talent right now. That's what I've been trying to tell you. It's crazy is that, like, a lot of the lower-tier guys, that you they're not as known, but they're getting more well-known. They're killers. They can compete. Like, they could be top easily. They're going to slip into the top 10 and then, you know, very soon be top 5 guys, because some of these other dudes are just going to keep on fighting and having boring fights, like Stephen Thompson. He's going to keep giving us boring fights. He's going to hold that number 2 to number 1 spot, and he's never going to have any value. So I don't know what the UFC wants to do with that, but, he's just going to keep putting everybody to sleep. So my thing is, I say stop putting in some of these other guys, booking these new guys for some fights. And in the meantime,
exactly, man.
Figure out UFC, figure out what the hell you are doing with the women's divisions, because it's making no sense. And this other thing that I don't like is that the new what was the turn? They just did a tournament. What is that? Okay, women's flyweight now. So what's that, 125?
Yeah, the new 125 division, yep.
Okay, so
they crown a champion through the Ultimate Fighter.
This is my issue with that, is that a lot of those girls, like, I mean, they fought in MMA and other, you know, fight organizations and stuff like that. I mean, to my understanding, they're not amateur, you know, athletes. Like, they've had, you know, a gang of fights, and that's the Ultimate Fighter is usually based on. I mean, they have rounds of just champions fighting champions to see who can fight the champion in the UFC. I mean, like they did for Demetrius Johnson, and then, you know, he, you know, outclasses the champion at the end.
Yep.
It was kind of crazy, but, you know, just looking at it is like, how are these girls going to be able to compete? I mean, it almost seems like it's the same situation where you have, you know, none of these, like, which of these girls would be ranked? You know, we already have a problem with, you know, finding prospects in the top 10 or in the top 15, like, you know, from 10 to 15 in the, you know, currently settled women's divisions. So which of these girls in the 125 would be in the top 10, you know, at 135? Like, would they be competing? I mean, and then you look at it, and if you have a lot of these 135ers who can't win belts, you know, and can't beat Amanda Nunes, want to go, or they can't beat, who is it? You have Shevchenko wants to go to 125.
She
want to
fight the 125 winner.
Yeah, she wants to go, and I actually saw that she's in talks of fighting one of them right now. It's not the champion. I mean, the champion's also going into surgery. I think she had, like, broke her foot. And I think she fought in the title fight with a broken foot, which is pretty impressive. I give her that. And, she's probably a warrior. But I don't think they're probably waiting to have that title fight if they want to do it with Shevchenko until she gets out of surgery, give her that warm-up fight with one of those girls. I mean, I guess we'll see where they're at based on how Shevchenko handles her opponent from the 125 division in that fight. And then you have, what's the other one there? Andrade just beat her. The one, Claudia. Claudia is supposed to, she was, talking, and she was teasing the idea of dropping to 125. And just my problem with that is that, okay, like, you guys are, like, kind of competitors in your division, but you're kind of not. And now you just want to go down and, like, take easy fights versus girls who you know that you're more experienced than. And, like, this is your house. Like, you're moving down, but, like, it's still, I mean, you've been here. These girls aren't used to this level. Like, your level of competition isn't even that deep. But, like, when you're a top five in your division going to fight, like, a number 11, and then you're going to fight, like, a number 8 or something, and then, you know, a number 4, you know, who have any of those girls fought? You know? So, like,
but I disagree with that, though, Keys.
What?
I disagree with that, bro. I know me and you have been talking, and you know, a lot of people that listen to our show or the replay of our show, me and you, one thing that we really want to see more is guys and girls fight at their natural walk-around weight, because it doesn't take a toll on your body to cut the weight to be, let's say for me, I walk around at 225. I probably could cut 20 pounds and fight at 205 easier than I can go down to 185. So I think a lot of these girls, they have problems making that 115 weight. So with the creation of the 125 weight, a lot of girls probably say, well, I can make 125 more realistically than I can make 115. So they're looking at the opportunity of basically being more healthy going into a fight and fighting closer to their walk around weight. So I think the 115 weight division might become a thing of the past. And I think it'll be, if it was me running UFC, I would have 130 and 140. I would get rid of the 145. I would get rid of the 135. I would get rid of 125 and 115. I would have 130 and 140. For the girls that are naturally bigger in size, they can fight at 140. Then at 130, you'll have the girls that are kind of smaller, you know, and probably can't make, you know, 115, but they walk around at 150, something like that. So my thing is the UFC needs to look at dropping the women's division down to two divisions. It's just the smartest thing to do, man, because you're already having problems finding good fights within your women's division. It's like, how many times can we recycle the same people over and over and over and over and over? So the UFC has a problem. They need to fix the women's division. If you can't fix it, and no, my ladies out there that's listening, I'm not a sexist. I'm not sexually discriminating. If the UFC can't fix it, let Invicta become the main source for women's fighting, because they already have fighters down there at all these divisions, and that's their only thing is women's fighting. So let them become the grade A females MMA promotion. UFC, you got the guys. You got all the type fighters in the world. So maybe your women's division is like the USFL. It won't. You can't give it what it wants, so give it to somebody else and let them do the best they can with it. So no women. I'm not discriminating. I'm not being a sexist. I'm being a realist with my opinions. Sorry.
It's fun to see them go compete. I mean, I think it's obvious that when I was saying that, I'm looking at it from a different perspective than, you know, you were looking at, you know, kind of considering, you know, the walk around weight of all the fighters. I mean, that's one thing that I usually don't think about, and I don't take that into consideration when I say a lot of the stuff I say. So it's not surprising that we would have had a difference there. It's probably good for them. It's just, you know, when I look at it competition wise, it just looks like, to me, that it's going to be, you know, Shevchenko is going to go down there and she's just going to start dominating fighters, and she's going to,
exactly,
you know, and it's going to look like a Ronda
just
Rousey
to have
situation.
A belt. Just to have a belt.
Right, just to have a belt, because she's going to be able to beat every one of the girls that's in that division, because she's very skilled. And if she walks around at like 120 or like 118 or something, and she only has to, you know, drop three, what am I saying? If she walks around at 120, she's got to put on, you know, 5 pounds instead of, you know, 15 pounds. Or if she walks around at 125 and she's only going to lose 5 pounds, you know, to go fight or whatever it is. I mean, she's going to be at such an advantage. She's going to be beating everybody. And then once, it's just going to come down to a thing where she's going to be so dominant. And then it's going to be somebody else coming in. And when they start, like you were saying, if they involve the Invicta Fighting Championship women and start recruiting from there, where you have, you know, people that are fighting at a similar level of competition. And I actually didn't know that they were only a women's fighting championship. I just hadn't, like, picked up. I mean, I've noticed, you know, some of their fighters and been like, wow, like, you know, they got their women's divisions are very – you know, it's very coordinated. Like, they actually know what they're doing. And I just never, you know, put two and two together. But that would probably be a good idea. At least then we wouldn't see such a wave of no competition. And then all of a sudden, you know, Shevchenko's just getting destroyed, like, by, like, some, you know, once they finally get a prospect, you know, then you finally see a fight. But, you know, that might be, you know, 7 title defenses later at this rate. Who knows?
Well, man, I didn't get to cover my main event for my dream card. And my main event was Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar. And me and you are both big Frankie fans. And I have been dying to see Frankie in another title fight. I thought that he won the second fight against Aldo. I think the fight was closer than what the judges scored it. I don't know if Holloway is ready for what he's going to face against Frankie. Frankie is constant movement. He smothers you when he gets you to the ground. He has supreme ground and pound skills when he gets you to the ground. A very underrated submission game. And the only thing I could see Holloway using as an event, as probably motivation in this fight against Frankie, is because Frankie beat BJ Penn twice, and Holloway and BJ Penn are both from Hawaii, so he probably could use that as motivation. But that would be my main event, Holloway versus Frankie, because I want to see Frankie fight for the belt again. And I think it'll be an absolute war. I think it'll be two styles that will go at it, and whoever can impose their will on the other will probably win. When people look at Frankie, they see how small he is and, you know, whatever. You can't measure Frankie's heart. Frankie's heart is immeasurable. You can't put that on the tail of the tape. And I think Max Holloway, if he was to beat Frankie, he would walk out of that fight as a better fighter, because he knew that he has been in a fight with one of the world's best MMA artists. And it would only propel Max Holloway's career. I know Yair Rodriguez, he's probably looking at the UFC like, why did you guys put me in that fight with Frankie? Well, Frankie, y'all already know what Frankie does to up-and-coming prospects when he's on a mission. So I think Yair will come back a better fighter. And I think if Max Holloway was to beat Frankie, just through that fight alone, he will become a better fighter. But if those two were to fight, I'm going with my heart other than my eye test, and I would say Frankie wins that fight.
So one thing I want, you know, to ask you too, you know, I could give my take on it, you know, tell you that I'd go with Frankie to win, but at the same time, it's like that's also me going with who I want to win, versus like really analyzing, you know, both sides of it. What I want to more ask you is, when you're like referring to the eye test, what do you refer? Like, what is this? Like, I don't even know what you mean.
Okay. See, me, when I watch a fight, you know, a lot of people go by what they see, you know, by, you know, when they see the tail of the tape come across the screen and, you know, this guy got a 7-inch reach advantage. This guy has landed so-and-so percentage of significant strikes. This guy has a 90% takedown defense. All that's good on paper. But when you actually watching the fight, what do your eyes tell you? My eyes tell me that when I'm watching the fight, I know Holloway is going to use his jab because he has a longer reach. He wants to keep distance. But when I watch a fight, even if Frankie is a smaller guy, he manages a way to close space and distance to take your advantage away and make it his advantage by smothering your style and making it his type of fight. So when you're watching a fight, don't look at the tail of the tape. I know earlier you said you want to see the tail of the tape. That's all cool. But if you never saw the tail of the tape, only thing you have to go off is what you see on the screen or what you see in the fighter. And my eye test tell me that Frankie can adapt his style to the guy he's fighting. Remember when he first fought BJ Penn, everybody was like, who's this Frankie Edgar guy? Oh, yeah, I'm putting all my money on BJ. But when you saw Frankie fight, you was like, God dang, will this guy ever start moving? Man, why is his hand so fast? why is he smoking DJ on the mat like this? It was like you was asking yourself as a fan, why, what, when? Where did this guy come from? But when you watch the actual fight and you watch him move and you watch his style, the eye test tell you that Frankie is definitely up to the task and that Holloway will probably have to fight the best fight of his career and probably be the most composed that he's ever been in a fight because Frankie has a way of making guys lose their composure because he's so constant moving. He's like that fly in a barbecue. You're trying to eat and you got to brush the fly away. You're trying to drink your soda. You got to brush the fly away, you know. And that's how Frankie is with these guys. He get under their skin. So that's why I was kind of mad that they was, like, hyping up Cub Swanson because Frankie made Cub, man, when he fought Cub, it wasn't even a fight. It wasn't even a fight. So, yeah, when you watching the fight, next time when they put the tail of the tape on, don't even look at that. Just watch the fight and see what your eyes tell you. Your eyes tell you a whole different story than that, the tail of the tape.
Yeah, I've seen a few other times people refer to that too, and I just was always wondering if it was like if people were talking about like referring to watching tape or talking about just live, you know, making it the call right there, you know, based on how like a fighter approaches it, you know, starting the first few minutes. So that definitely clears that up. Anyway,
yeah,
Inquiring
Minds want to know, UFC Boston, will my man Keys be going or will he be at home watching it on pay-per-view? I got to know this because you get to see two of your favorite fighters, Daniel Cormier, defend his belt, and Stipe Miocic, defend his belt. So, will my man Keys be in the house or will my man Keys be at home watching on TV? I need to know.
Oh, man. So I've been thinking about this, and it's actually like, you know, it's kind of a situation where I'm waiting on a group that I'm trying to go with, see like if they're trying to go, and then they got the pre-sale tickets and they haven't actually came out with the real tickets. You know, they're still trying to sell this UFC 219 tickets. Yeah, so, I mean, I looked it up today on this app on my phone. It came up UFC 219, so I'm like, nah, I'm just waiting for the 220, but maybe that'll go on sale once this next event, or maybe like a week or two before this next event. I don't know how that goes, but the thing is that, like I told you, I'm 66%, maybe 67% sold on going. I want to go, but I'm just waiting on one more fight, you know, and you might have an idea. I just need that T. Wood announcement. I need that T. Wood title fight. And once they announce that, I'll be 100% sold. I'm going to buy my tickets instantaneously.
See, now you're being greedy. First of all, the only time they ever had three title defenses on pay-per-view card is normally in New York. You're not going to get three title defenses, bro. So I'm going to tell you now, go ahead and buy your ticket and wait and watch as the rest of the card builds up and just go. You get to see two of your favorite fighters, man. Two of your favorite fighters defend their belt. And then actually what might come from that is you might get to see the build up to DC versus Stipe. Never know.
Yo, man, see, you know, I'm gonna probably end up buying the tickets. The thing is that, like, you know, I heard somebody, it almost seems like they knew that like these two fights would land on the Boston card. I mean, they were talking about this like September, October around, saying that DC and Stipe like would both win in Boston, and then like they'd end up challenging, they'd end up fighting for heavyweight, you know, super fight after that. And then I just kept thinking to myself, like, okay, let me wait. And then they both get announced. Okay, now we have the both title fights. Let's see it. We got Ngannou in there. You know, the hype train's rolling on, rolling in. And you got Volkan hype train rolling on, rolling in. I mean, he's fought like three guys in the UFC. I'm not convinced still, but we're going to wait and see how he does. I don't know how I feel about the DC and Stipe super fight. I mean, it sounds cool, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're two very different kind of fighters, and like I'm just not sure if DC wants to stand there and trade with Stipe, and then again, I don't know if Stipe wants to have to deal with, you know, DC's wrestling. And at the same time, it's like Stipe has wrestling ability too, but I just, would the fight be as entertaining if you're just seeing one or more of the other styles dominate the fight? Or would it just be, you know, a kind of half and half mix? You know, Stipe is, you know, his takedown defense is great. Like, he's not letting DC smother him on the ground. He's getting back up, and then they got some, you know, they're trading blows. They got some stand up in between and kind of a mix. I mean, if I can picture it that way, it would be a very entertaining fight. But then in another way, I picture it going either, you know, 100% to one guy or the other. And when I think of that, I just, you know, I just say they're two very different styles and approaches to fighting in the octagon. So I just don't know how the fight would really, how much it would deliver.
But you're missing a point, though, bro. You're missing a point. The build-up going to start in Boston. If it was going to happen, the build-up would start in Boston because they both go fight on the same card. And if they both win, that's when the hype is going to start, like, with DC, what's up? You know, what you think about Stipe? Stipe, what you think about DC? It's going to start where you at, man. That's where the hype's going to start.
Yeah, very true. You know, hey, it doesn't need, I mean, I don't think I need much convincing. I'm probably end up getting them, but, you know, I'm just, like you said, I'm just being greedy while it lasts, being greedy while I can. Right, while they're being promoted. Once I see the actual sales, they get some buying them. I'll be coming on to let you know I'm going to the UFC in Boston.
That's what's up, man. Hey, being a win overtime, what's on your mind tonight?
Damn, it's just crazy. I mean, it's snowing out here in Boston, bro. It's wild. I mean, I feel like the weather is changing. And I remember this time last year, we never had weather like this. And, you know, it almost feels like around October is how December felt last year. And then now it's like, you know, being that we didn't see snow until February, now we have snow and there's plow trucks out there. I don't know. I think, you know, we got to stop paying attention. We might got to eat our vegetables some more, maybe get some vegetable oil for our gas tank. You know, we got to start living green out here, Lee. That's what I think. That's what's on my mind. I think the world's dying.
So global warming is a true thing, huh?
We got to save the planet, bro. The weather's acting crazy.
And the funny part is you talk about snow in Boston. It's like 63 degrees out here in Denver. And normally out here about this time of the year, it's like it's normally colder, you know. We'd have been to have about two to five snows. We didn't actually have maybe, I wouldn't even call it a whole snow, maybe a half snow. But the mountains are covered in snow. But, you know, man, people don't, they take the environment for granted, man. It's like, I'm an avid recycler. You know, I believe in recycling ever since my days in Germany, because Germany was one of the first countries that had mandatory recycling. Even those of us that was in the military, we had to recycle on base. And I believe in it, man. It's like the atmosphere and the environment is something that can't take care of itself. We have to help it take care. We have to take care of it. and by recycling, you know, being aware of the greenhouse effect, you know, people still burn trash, which isn't good. You know, some car makers still make cars that aren't environmentally friendly. So I agree with you, man. You know, we got to take care of our planet. Even though the planet will be here after both of us are long dead and gone, but for how long do we know it's going to be here? We don't know that because that's not in our realm of control. So people like my man Keith said, be more environmentally conscious, you know, by the stuff you buy, by the way you dispose of things. I mean, I like to buy stuff that's been previously recycled. You know, I like to buy green. The old me would have been like, whatever. But now that I'm a little bit older and wiser, I believe in that stuff, man.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's like the little bit that everybody does feels, you know, it does feel like a little bit, and it might be a little bit, but when, you know, you tell the next 10 guys and then those 10 guys all put in that little bit, now you guys have like a lot, you know, that you're putting in versus the next 10 people and the next 10 people, and then you're all putting in a big help, you know, and you're creating a big relief towards, you know, recycling or, you know, whatever it may be, and trying to be, you know, efficient with our resources and the things that we're using and the way that we're going about everyday life. And one big thing, like, for example, was, like, plastic. And, like, you know, people, I mean, they burn plastic, and you mentioned about the people burning trash and the way we dispose of things, and, you know, the amount of, you know, bottles of water that, you know, I don't know how it is out there, but bottles of water is a big thing, you know, in the Boston area. Like, if on a typical, you know, trip to the store, if you're going to go shopping for food and things for the refrigerator, you're probably going to buy a case of water. You know, they got 24 packs of water. You're going to buy some Poland Springs, and they got tons of plastic that, you know, people, they don't have an alternative to doing these things. They don't know how to approach it differently. And, you know, one thing I try and do is, you know, use filtered water, and I just drink glasses of water. So many bottles all the time, and I'll wait. Like, I can, you know, buy some water, but I'm just trying not to go through it so fast, because then every time, you know, you're throwing out bottles of water in the trash, then they're burning, you know, or they're even putting it, you know, some places they got those trash, you know, areas where they're, like, burying trash, you know, and that's either just plastic sitting, you know, within the land, or you have, you know, they're burning plastic, you know, amongst trash, and it's all just going up into the atmosphere, and, you know, that's a big contributor to why we're in this situation. So I think the idea is just everybody can give a little bit and change their ways a little bit and try to think about alternatives. There's things you can do every day to, like, make a change. People don't think they can make a change, but it's just that's with you. You need to believe that what you do can make a difference. And then once you can somebody else that and make them believe, once you can tell somebody else that, you know, they can tell somebody else that, and the three of you believe, and then next, you know, 30 people, 300 people, 3,000. Once 3,000 people believe, you're really making some moves, you know, and then it goes so forth and so on. So if everybody just stay environmentally friendly, all of our listeners, be environmentally friendly, and if you can, don't use too much plastic. The plastic is killing us. We don't see it. We're not going to see it in our lifetime. We're not going to see it. But, you know, your grandchildren are going to see it. And, you know, the next generation after that is going to see it, or whoever after that next and so forth is going to see it. And you're trying to, you know, look out for the future. It's just like your life. Everything you do in your life, you're trying to think about the future. Same thing with the environment. You're trying to, you know, conserve the environment for its future, you know, in the future of the planet. So that's just how that is, you know, until we can all do that and at least try and, you know, make positive moves, we're just going to keep seeing, you know, the world changing and not understand why. I mean, there's not like a whole, you know, there's not a huge thing we can do to combat that at this time, but, you know, little strides, you know, make it better than just being, you know, ignorant to the facts. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, exactly.
But we should,
I totally agree.
You know, all our listeners, though, we went over. We gave you a couple things right there.
Hold up. I got a final thought.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
All right. Earlier, me and Keys was talking about the UFC, and Keys brought up the fact that the UFC has a fight card on tonight, and his exact words were, "I could give a shit about this card tonight." And the thing is, with the UFC, I have said this on Twitter, I have said it on this show, and I'm going to say it one more time. Stop with so many events. You don't have to have an event on TV every weekend. You don't have to have an event every month. You are watering down the product. All you have to do is use the WWE mode. WWE has certain, they had a main four or five fight pay-per-views every year. They have WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, Hell in a Cell, and I think TLC. That's five. UFC, all you have to do is you have your five major events every year. And then you surround those five by maybe six or seven smaller events. So what you do is you promote your Super 5 events, make them bigger and better. Maybe you have on those five events, you have at least two title defenses, and you stack the undercards. And then what you do with your other six events is you use those events to promote maybe the guys that's not pay-per-view quality, but the mid-tier guys. You use those to promote the mid-tier guys. You have a whole, maybe you can sneak a title defense up there, but maybe you use those events as your title eliminators. You have guys, the number two guy versus number three guy. And then you have maybe the number two girl versus number four girl. And then you use those events to say the person that wins this fight will be the next mandatory challenger for the belt. But it gives your events more meaning. And it makes us as the fans, we want to tune in. Because we know that this is a meaningful event. That something out of this event is going to affect something down the road. So stop watering down your event and having all these UFC fight nights and all this and all that. Stick with your five major events and then have maybe six or seven sprinkled in so that you leave your fan base knowing that each card serves an important event, serves a greater purpose. Because tonight we got Cub Swanson versus T-City Ortega. I don't even know who that is. I didn't know who Ortega was. But, I mean, I'm going to watch it because that's part of the job of doing this show. But the fight I want to see on that card, I want to see Aljamain Sterling. He's fighting on that card. Yeah, that's one of my favorite fighters to watch. So, UFC, start watering down your product. Have less fights. Have less events. Promote your big five events. Come up with your big five events. You got Vegas, you got Brazil, you got New York. You can come up with, you know, Boston, and then maybe somewhere down south or Dallas or something like that. And then you go with six other events, you know, that you'll put in, like, you know, stalwart places, let's say Denver, Stockton, California, maybe Detroit, New Orleans, Atlanta. You know, go with other big places, but stop watering down your product. It's bad for us as the fan when we lose interest in your product. Because I know tonight I am not watching this fight tonight. I'm going to watch the Rigondeaux versus Lomachenko fight rather than watch UFC. And that's bad because I feel that UFC is better than boxing, but I do want to see this boxing fight tonight. And that's my hot take for tonight. All right, Keys, take us home, bro.
All right. It was good. We appreciate everybody for listening. Like I always say in the beginning and in the end, that the guest calling number for any time, future reference, even if we're not talking about that topic, you want to come in and change the subject, we're open to talk about anything. The calling number is 917-889-3251. Again, 917-889-3251. If you ever want to call in and talk with us, we appreciate it. And everybody, all the listeners for listening. And also our Twitter handles, if you ever want to talk with us, we're always debating similar topics on Twitter. And there's a whole lot of news flying and things like that. Give them, like, my ad is Keys TV. We have, yeah, that goes K-E-Y. It's all lowercase. K-E-Y-S-S-T-V. That's on Twitter. You can hit us up there. Lee, we both see me on, Lee, I can't get in because it's locked me out of Twitter. What's your Twitter handle? Can you give him? I can't spell it.
My Twitter handle is @LeVanStian757. @LeVanStian757. Me and my man Keith, we always on Twitter. We retweet things. We talk about things. We ask each other opinions. Normally we use Twitter to set up our show, but at the same time, Twitter don't make our show, and we'll post this tonight's episode to Twitter for you guys to listen to. And on behalf of my man Keys, I want to say happy holidays. Have a happy holiday, a safe holiday, and keep your ears and lend us your ear every week so we can keep giving you this good info.
All right. Appreciate everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time on Lee and Keys Real Talk. We're out.